Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio for a Saturday morning. I'm Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. See Chad and the crew and check out their trailer selection. It can't be beat. Check them out at Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service. Well, we'll check in with our friend, Dennis Guy up in Canada. Always great to get an update on some of the top ag issues, stories, insights. We visit with Dennis Guy once again here this week.
Near the top of the current list is Canada's temporary foreign workers program. On Wednesday, Polyev announced that his goal is to permanently end that program.
Stop issuing visas for any new temporary foreign workers. Nearly 75% of temporary foreign workers that come into the country are for low-wage positions, which means they compete with working class and young people that ultimately drive down wages.
The former Liberal government under Justin Trudeau is on the record as stating the program needs a formal review. And Mark Carney says the program is on the cabinet's discussion agenda, but Carney also says there is no plan to do away with it as it fills a workforce need.
That program has a role. When I talk to businesses around the country, their number one issue is tariffs, and their number two issue is access to temporary foreign workers.
A similar but different program, the Seasonal Agricultural Worker Program, also allows primary agriculture employers to bring in seasonal workers from Mexico and Caribbean countries. But farmers and agri-food producers can also choose to hire workers through the Temporary Foreign Workers Program. And that program, the one that Polyev once ended, accounted for more than 78,000 employees across the agricultural sector last year. Polyev's conservatives have said they would establish a separate and standalone program for agricultural labor. But Keith Curry, who farms near Georgian Bay in central Ontario and is president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, believes the Seasonal Agricultural Worker Program could be put in danger if changes to the Temporary Foreign Worker Program go too far.
I don't know how you do away with a temporary foreign worker program in totality without arming the agriculture streams.
Concerns of losing the temporary foreign workers program are being heard well beyond the agricultural sector. Dan Kelly with the Canadian Federation of Small and Medium Business says that the program is a valuable resource for many small and rural communities with a limited labor pool to draw on.
There are thousands of communities where there just are no entry-level people. If you're trying to hire in rural Saskatchewan to work in your quick service restaurant, it's unlikely that the unemployed kid from Toronto is going to take the job washing dishes in Estevan.
Pierre Polyev says he plans to put the Temporary Foreign Workers Program on the agenda for debate when Parliament goes back into session in Ottawa on September 15th. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
Also this week, we hear from fellow farm broadcaster Todd Gleason as he spoke with the folks at Allendale in getting some details regarding their annual crop production survey. Some of those results, some of the surprises. Well, Todd has more details.
Can you give me a quick history of this survey? How old is it and how accurate might it be?
Certainly. So we've completed the results of a 36th annual Allendale Nationwide Yield Survey. This one, in general, is a two-week survey of producers. It's covered in the last 2 weeks of August with an attempt and a general idea here to see what we can do as far as matching up with USDA's own September release of yield numbers. Now, as far as the accuracy here goes, over on the corn side, in the past 15 years, we've generally been within about two bushels. I want to say about 11 of those past 15 years, we've been within two bushels of USDA's September yield number. The other 4 years range from 2.3 to 4.6 bushels off. So overall, for the survey, and certainly for a survey in September, very, very close to what USDA may show. Numbers on the soybeans, in terms of the past 15 years, we've been within 1.5 bushels an acre of USDA's number, 10 of those years. And really interesting to point out, last year was extremely accurate. We were only 1.1 bushel off USDA for corn and 0.1 for soybeans.
What did the survey results show for this year?
So USDA gave the trade a bit of a surprise here with their August numbers. They put yields at 188.8 around the U.S. for corn, and they suggested a 53.6 number here for soybeans. And the corn number was the bigger surprise of those two. Our survey actually suggested we may not see that much of a break on this coming report. For corn, 187.5, and for soybeans, 53.3 for nationwide numbers.
You do break these out by state. I made note that Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, the two Dakotas, were all higher than the USDA August figures.
Sure is right. And we really found a pattern which did kind of match up with that August August rainfall discussion. Eastern Corn Belt did see very light declines in yield, as well as Missouri, due to that dryness situation. But keep in mind, for most of the West, they did have some good rainfall overall. And so we did see those numbers lightly boosted. So, yes, a net decline in yield minimally, but overall lower in the East and a little higher in the West.
Were you surprised that the Iowa number, which was really big from USDA at 222 bushels to the acre, was bigger in your survey by a full bushel at 223?
I was a little bit. And one thing I will say, and people may want to criticize this survey and say, well, does this include the rust issue, the disease issues we heard so much about? And the issue which we probably will see is those may not really play into USDA's own numbers or our survey number, maybe until October, maybe until we see November, for instance. So overall, on the Iowa side, yes, we did push numbers on the corn, one bushel over USDA, soybeans, two bushels over USDA.
In Illinois, you have a break from 221 from USDA down to 216. That seems like that's probably in line. Where were the places that were really good in the state and those that were not so much?
You know, of course, we're going to have a discussion about some of the drier areas on the east central side. That's probably where we saw the larger of the hits. And the people on the northwest side who did participate in that generally very good July rainfall, that certainly was our distinction right there. So certainly for the eastern third, and specifically the east and south and southern portions, that's where we did see the problem show up here.
Anything else out of the survey that we should talk about?
Let's discuss one additional thing which we do include with our survey. And we do ask producers questions regarding their marketing, how much they've marketed for old crop and new crop. I will point out here, new crop corn sales only 15% complete. Over the prior 5 years, those numbers range from 21 to 35. So this is not a surprise to anybody. Certainly the point is we've got some very low new crop marketings. For soybeans, 16% of new crop has been sold. The prior 5 years were from 20 to 34%. So not a big surprise to anyone, but certainly those numbers do give us a bit of concern here for us.
At this point, I think most are suggesting that particularly for corn, but for corn, soybeans, and wheat, if you've not marketed enough, that trying to capture the carry in the marketplace is something you should do. Would you agree?
Certainly right. So, of course, in big crop years and with large crops, the market does put in additional premiums in those back month futures. So even though we may not like this near-term price, perhaps we can capture the carry by selling, for instance, the March or the May contracts and accepting that higher level of a premium there.
All right. Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
That's Rich Nelson with Allendale. It just completed its annual yield survey, done with farmers across the nation. I'm Todd Gleason.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning, brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service. For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joe Gill.